Hi, kids. Welcome to Bronco Land. We got some smart ones in the room.
Welcome back to the DenverBroncos.com podcast, broadcasting to you, not live, taped in the Broncos digital office on a Friday night. That's the territory that comes with the job. I'm joined by Matt Boyer, I don't know if you're still qualified as new here.
No, first time, long time though, Ben. First time, long time.
This makes me very happy.
It's quite a thrill. Yeah, I've only been here. Three weeks in, and I'm very. I didn't think I'd get asked onto the podcast for at least 3 months. So for me to be 3 weeks in and on the podcast, this is a thrill.
You're very lucky. As we all know, big game coming up this weekend. We kind of circled this maybe a month or so ago because we kind of thought maybe these teams would be undefeated at the same time. Alas, not to be. However, still a really good matchup. Undefeated Patriots at 10-0. Broncos at 8-2. This is a matchup we see every year, sometimes two times a year. And this one's no different. I mean, two great teams, two of the AFC's top teams. Patriots are going to actually come to Denver for once. First time since the 2013 AFC championship game, and they're a little bit banged up.
What you just said right there, I think the biggest thing is that they're finally coming here, right? You think that, you know, it seems like every single year the schedule comes out and we're headed to Foxborough. It just always feels that way. The exception, of course, being 2 years ago when they came here for the AFC championship game. We all know how that turned out. Pretty spectacular. But you're right. I think this is a huge matchup. I think that people are really looking forward to this, have circled this on the calendar. One of the things that I think this game will be missing that I think a lot of people were looking forward to was that Brady-Manning matchup. It's always a marquee event for NFL fans, but this year we're getting Brock Osweiler. But I think that people will be pretty happy with that matchup as well. I think there's a lot of things that can come from this matchup that make it unique, that will maybe make it stand out from the Manning-Brady sagas that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I mean, we're all going to miss that match. I mean, who knows how many more we might see of it, or how soon even. But yeah, I mean, this is one that, if you're my age, it's like something you just grown up with. You know, for the longest time, there was Brady Manning. And, I mean, I think Brock will be a good addition to the team at this point. I think that he's kind of shown what he can do against the Bears, and he kind of fits into this offense that has been so talked about with its bootlegs and things like that. So I think it'll still be a good matchup, though. It's hard to beat, you know, two of the best quarterbacks in the game for the last decade or almost two decades.
Right. I think, do you remember when Tom Brady first, I mean, do you remember, I can pretty vividly, him coming in for Drew Bledsoe, the start of the Brady run back in the early 2000s. You do not remember that.
I was always NFC guy.
Okay.
So, like, I was living on the East Coast, you always watch more of the NFC, and so I didn't really watch a whole lot of Broncos games that often growing up. I mean, I watched a lot of Jake Plummer and, you know, some Colts games here and there, but I just kind of grew up watching NFC.
I vividly remember those Patriot games, having grown up in Michigan. Tom Brady was my guy coming out of the U of M,
approval rating, like people keeping monitor at home, just went
through the roof, through the roof. Tom Brady was my guy when he came out of Michigan. Conversely, of course, Brian Greasy was also my guy. Brady and Greasy, of course, kind of in the late 90s, early 2000s when they were coming out of the U of M. But I think back to Brady coming in and coming in for Bledsoe and just how long it's been since that time. It seems like time's really gone by quickly for his run, but I think he's definitely a marquee guy. It's so great to kind of, you chart his progress with Manning's progress, right? I mean, they've kind of been hand in hand, circling each other for the majority of their careers. And while you're right, we are going to be robbed of another one of those types of scenarios again. I think this weekend will be pretty great. The other thing that I think kind of need to key in on is the fact that all this talk about Brady versus Manning, Brady versus Osweiler, it's taking away a little bit from the defense, the Broncos defense, the number one defense in the NFL.
And the Patriots defense.
And the Patriots defense, too. Those are two great defenses that I'm surprised, I don't know how you feel about it, that I'm surprised that they're flying largely under the radar and not really getting a lot of publicity this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to when you have Gronk. Gronk takes, like, you know, the 100-megawatt bulb, and he gets a lot of shine, and then Tom Brady gets a lot, and then Julian Edelman, who unfortunately is injured, gets a bunch too. And so guys like Chandler Jones, who is pretty close to the top in sacks, they kind of, you know, you don't hear about him much.
Well, Gronk takes the headlines, right? You heard Gronk this week in his press conference talking about Thanksgiving. Anything that comes out of his mouth is soundbite ready. Same thing with Tom Brady. Tom Brady usually has a great soundbite. So that team is very much made for the public eye, probably to Bill Belichick's chagrin, just because Belichick appreciates his teams to be on message. As much as Gronk may deviate from that message, you can't deny his ability come Sunday.
One of the major talking points I've heard throughout the week from a lot of the guys is about the Patriots defense, is how much they've built it through the draft. I think they have seven guys on their listed starters, who were drafted in the first three rounds by the Patriots. I think they have an undrafted guy at cornerback, much like we do. And five of those seven are first-round picks. And, I mean, it's hard to say that it's not coming to fruition at this point, that they're leading the league in points per game allowed. So, I mean, we can talk yardage and things like that, but at the end of the day, with the points on the board, if you're a top, it's kind of like Wade Phillips said, well, they're the best.
You think about it, too, how much they lost last year off that Super Bowl-winning secondary. Mm-hmm. They just reload, it seems like, at every position. And like you said, Wade is definitely aware of the amount of points that can go up on that scoreboard come Sunday. So I think they're expecting a big effort or a big output from the Patriots. It's just about how to mitigate that through, you know, the run game on offense, taking away possessions from the Patriots offense, through the Broncos offense. But I think Sunday, I think they're expecting big things on Sunday.
We've kind of talked about the injuries that the Patriots have taken at their wide receiver spot. They just put Aaron Dobson on IR. Julian Edelman is out for a while. Danny Amendola is out for a while. I think we expect that. And so they're kind of reaching into their depth, with Brandon LaFell as probably their top wide receiver at this point, which, I mean, he's done okay. Like, I think he had a touchdown against the Broncos last year in that whooping they put on the team in Foxborough. It seems like they can always just find guys who can get things done.
It's really remarkable when you've got a team like that, a system like that, where it's just plug and play, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, Amendola's out here, you plug LaFell in here. Edelman's out, another guy steps up. It's so unique to have a squad like that. And to your point, I think the Broncos also have a squad like that on defense. You think about, you know, DeMarcus Ware going down. You plug and play Shaq Barrett.
Right.
You know, the secondary, if a cornerback goes down, if Aqib's suspended, Bradley Roby steps in and makes plays. So these are two of the deepest teams, I think, in the NFL right now as far as a talent pool goes.
I think one of the things with the receivers, I think, is I wonder how much the Broncos will use one-on-one solely on the receivers so they can double Gronk a bit more. I know Wade at his press conference on Wednesday talked about doubling Gronk is kind of a necessity if you want to limit him.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of saw the Bills do that, and he only had 37 yards, so clearly they were doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the Broncos' corners' ability to kind of hold their own, it can kind of allow your safeties to help out with a linebacker and kind of try and control his output.
Do you have a key? I mean, do you have a guy? I have one in mind right now, but I'm interested to hear your take. Do you have a guy this weekend who will need to play his biggest game in the secondary, at one of those four positions? Is there somebody that you can look at and say, that guy needs a big game?
I would think TJ.
Yeah, me too. That's
TJ,
what I was going to say.
He, you know, he's a big hitter. He's physical. Matching up against Gronk, you know, you got to be big, you got to be physical. And, man, that's just, it'll be tough because I think TJ is a fair amount shorter than 6'5", I think Gronk is. But if you can kind of stay on top of him. That'll be key. Man, Gronk had an amazing catch against the Broncos last year.
He had a big game. I mean, it always seems like we went through the tape. Our colleague Phil Milani and I went through the tape this past week, and we were looking for Gronk touchdowns against the Broncos, and it does seem like every time he plays this team, he just has a great game. It's mm-hmm. always a great scoring output from Gronk when it comes to the Broncos from the production side of things. But you're right. If there's anybody who can mitigate Gronk's output, it's got to be TJ, one of the hardest hitting safeties. He hits like a linebacker. He covers much like a linebacker. Mm-hmm. Even though you said it, not that tall, but boy, does he pack a punch.
Yeah. Well, offensively, for the Broncos, looking to kind of keep on track with what Brock Osweiler did previously against the Bears. And I think the key point there is no interceptions.
The run game also has to be key, right? I think that was a lot mm-hmm. of – that had a lot to do with his progress and his progression throughout the game on Sunday, because when you can run the ball early and establish the run like CJ and Ronnie were able to do early on, you remember CJ had that great run. I think it was for 12 or 13 yards mm-hmm. for that early first down, a huge third down conversion. Plays like that can really boost a guy's confidence like Brock's. And I think if they're able to do that, that will open up things for Brock in the passing game and take a lot of pressure off of a young quarterback.
Especially early, because I think you can afford an interception here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've seen, when the Broncos lose like possessions early, mm-hmm. they give away the ball, and they let the leads build up, it puts a lot of pressure on the defense to kind of – you know, maybe try and create something themselves, or if not do that, then, you know, just stop the bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And when the offense does succeed in getting some points on the board early, then it allows the offense to do multiple things as opposed to getting stuck in one rut or trying to force things too much.
I think, like you said, I think the offense will play a big role. And I do think that flow, like you talked about, is going to be huge this week.
And then defensively, I do want to mention, because I kind of forgot about this, going back to the defense.
Sure.
The Patriots are really good on managing third downs,
mm-hmm.
making sure they're not out of, like, in a bad spot. And they convert a lot of third downs. I think they're pretty close to the top, if I remember correctly, pretty close in conversion percentage. And I think I couldn't find the statistic on what their average third down yardage is, but generally you're going to convert more of those if they're closer, right?
So, right.
If the Broncos can hold up in first down and keep them to the second and third downs, the longer ones, then that would bode well for them and kind of force Tom Brady to stand in the pocket a little bit longer, try and let his wide receivers' routes, you know, kind of develop and open up. And if they can do that, then maybe they get some turnovers, maybe they get some sacks and kind of end things early for them. We're looking for a big bounce back from the last home game.
Well, you said it. I mean, the defense laid an egg. I mean, last time out against Kansas City.
I thought they did fairly well. I thought the offense just got them too deep.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're right. I should preface that with, you know, the offense did put them in bad situations. But to give up that many points to a Kansas City team that you handled earlier in the year has to be frustrating. So to have that be the last taste in your mouth when you walk into Sports Authority Field has to give you at least some type of motivation heading into this game, because you don't want to come out in front of the home fans and have another output like that. Like you said, I think they are going to be motivated to get back.
Surprisingly, I haven't done anything with my tickets yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Nothing?
I usually give them away by now, but like I haven't heard anyone ask for any tickets.
So if they're listening to this podcast, they know where to go for tickets?
I suppose. I don't know. Sometimes I find someone, but I don't know. I don't want to have empty seats.
Not to this game. You don't want to – when they boo you, when they boo the fans that didn't come, you don't want to be part of that group. You want to be in your seat for this one, for sure. This is one of the marquee games, like we said at the top. This is a game that people circle on the schedule, and this is a game that people really enjoy going to. So if you're looking to give away your tickets, I don't think you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, maybe I'll just go ahead and lay that out there. I don't know if anyone's going to propose anything to me at this point. Any people I know, so
is there a contest?
If you're listening to the podcast, the first people to to, let's say, tweet at me at.
Is there something specific they should tweet at you just to make sure that? Like,
oh yeah.
What's the secret code?
What is the secret code? What was the thing in? It's like, Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Yeah, what was that from?
Oh, yeah, Christmas Story. Good pull. Yeah. That was a chocolatey Ovaltine.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Getting in the holiday spirit, we'll use a holiday code.
You can tweet that to at, let's do Denver Broncos. I have my basketball account, which is okay. Cardboard Gerald, and then my football, which is a much more dormant account just because I don't do much at work with it.
Okay.
But if you tweet at that account, I'll follow the first person, and we'll put the tickets at a will call. How about
wow.
That
is, that? That's, wow. This podcast just got serious. Man.
Ooh, I've never done this before.
Pat's Broncos tickets. Yikes.
Ooh, yeah.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine
at Denver Broncos.
Okay. Is that, that's B-E-N.
Yeah.
V-E-R.
Yeah. It's Broncos. Like Denver Broncos, but my name's Ben, so Denver.
That would make sense.
That's a pretty, I know that's a long story about how I chose that name. Yeah, but, so I do realize I left a lot out of the contest description. It is for two tickets. I don't think I mentioned the number of tickets. So if you have you and one other person who's interested and you're Broncos fans, that's the other thing. You have to be Broncos fans. So in addition to
the phrase, be sure to drink your Ovaltine,
you must also tweet out a picture in that same tweet to Denver Broncos, a photo of you wearing Broncos gear so we know. And you also have to live in the Denver area. This might surprise you, but you have to be able to go to the game to win the tickets. So if you're living really far away, do not tweet at me. Please do not. I think that's all of the conditions that are required for this contest. If I've left anything out, this is going to be bad, so... best of luck, and I hope to be hearing from our lucky winner soon.
The podcast works in mysterious ways.
We'll see if it works. We'll see how many listeners we have, that's for sure.
That's right. Okay.
I think on that note, we're going to skedaddle out of here on a Friday night. No offense to our listeners, but Thanksgiving week, it's been a long week.
Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. we'll try and get you on for a longer one.
Okay, that sounds good.
If you have time.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so we'll catch you all next week. If you so desire, you can subscribe on iTunes. I think it's just Broncos Podcast. And we'll do some postmortem on this game. We'll look ahead to the next one. And maybe something random in between.
Sounds good.